Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 21, Council Candidate Forum, Terry Hartley, Cedar City.
Welcome back to Color Country Politics. I am Jenny Hendricks, here with Jesse Harris.
Hello.
And we are continuing our series of interviewing, getting the information out to the community for all of the municipal candidates that are running. And today we are thrilled to have Terry Hartley with us. She is currently on the Cedar City Council and is running again for another term on the Cedar City Council. So thank you for coming. We're super excited you're here.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here too. You know, my public speaking, I don't enjoy
that too well. It's your biggest thrill is to get out and speak in public.
Yes.
Well, that's an audience of two today, so really easy.
Okay. All right. That feels a lot better. So thank you for giving us all the opportunity to do this. I love that you're doing this and taking time out of your busy days. And
you bet.
Thank you.
You bet. Well, let's jump in, and we've been asking all of the candidates sort of the same questions. Okay. So starting out by just tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, I was born and raised here in Cedar City. This is my hometown. I graduated from Cedar High and went to SUU, studied accounting. After that, I went into banking, and I have been at Wells Fargo now for 42 years. That's my day job, pays the bills. So I just feel like my career prepared me with a lot of skills that could be useful on the city councils. And I think I've proven my leadership abilities, my financial management. I believe I have good negotiation skills that are helpful in this role, and I think I have good communication skills, maybe not public communication per se, but one-on-one negotiating, talking to people, being transparent, those types of things. I feel like I have worked at those for a long time, so
yeah.
I hope they can be helpful on the council.
So you already know how awful it is to run for office. You already know how awful it can be to be in office. Why did you do it again?
Well, some days, I will be honest, I ask myself that same question. Why am I doing this? My family asked me, why am I doing this? But in actuality, I'm really passionate about what goes on in the city. I care about what happens to Cedar City. I want to try and preserve those things that I love. And so that's why I'm involved.
That's great. It's great that you're jumping in again after having experienced it already.
Yep, a lot of things I want to continue. So
fabulous. Okay. Well, another one of the questions that we were asking everybody, and you'll probably have some good insight into this, is what does the city do well? What are some things that the city is really doing right now?
You know, a lot of things. I wish everyone could have the bird's eye view in to the city administration, to our city department heads and all the great employees and whatnot, because my eyes have really been opened since I've been on the city council. Our employees and the city administration, they're all top-notch. They're all very dedicated. I think we really have the best employees here. Our departments, I can't say enough about them, from our public safety, our police, our fire, our first responders. They care, first of all, and they are trying to do the best that they can. Hesitate to start naming because I don't want to leave anybody out, but our airport, we have a great airport. Over the past few years, we've really developed that.
Now taking on the extra load from St. George.
Right, we're filling in for St. George. We've got an extra flight. Hopefully everyone will use the airport and get familiar with it. We're really hoping, we're tracking the flights by zip code. Maybe we can petition SkyWest to bring that early morning flight back to Cedar City.
That'd be great.
Excuse me. That is so critical to either go to Salt Lake for a business meeting and come back in the same day, or to catch any connecting flights mm-hmm. going east, it's really critical that we get that. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't been out by our airport recently, go out there. The parking lots are full. There's people coming and going. It's really exciting.
The flight school is really, really big now, too.
Yes. When I drove out there on the airport tarmac the other day, it was really kind of fun to... There's all kinds of planes tied down that had to move up from St. George. Mm-hmm. It really feels exciting and vibrant. And so it's kind of a fun time for our airport.
Yeah.
Next year, of course, we're going to experience the reverse of it for 4 months. Uh-huh. Ours will be closed. We're going to be getting a new runway. And so that's really exciting, but it's going to be a lot of hard work. We're going to have downtime and be experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
But
I didn't mean to take you off track. We were talking about things that the city is doing well, and among those, obviously, the airport. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Other departments. Oh, our economic development.
Oh,
I can't say enough about that. I've worked on the Economic Development Committee with Danny Stewart, and he and Brad Abrams are hard workers.
Yeah.
And what's unfortunate is nobody gets to see what they're doing.
They're so much behind the scenes.
They're behind mm-hmm. the scenes. It's confidential. Sometimes they don't even know who they're dealing with when we are trying to put together incentives, mm-hmm. when we're competing with other communities to bring these manufacturing companies mm-hmm. and different entities to Cedar City. They're behind the scenes, and nobody knows what they're doing mm-hmm. until finally, like last week. It was a great week for Dan because we have the GoEx announcement. That's going to bring about 100 manufacturing jobs for our citizens. The solar for Facebook that's going to be out by Enterprise, that's going to bring about 450 construction jobs. So it's going to be a real boost for our area right now. Millions of dollars that they expect in revenue going. That one is a county project, mm-hmm. so it'll go through the county, but obviously we get a cut of that. Mm-hmm. So one of the projects that we've been working on for about 2 years in the background that we're about ready to unveil is a matrix that we've been working on that basically you plug in all the factors of, you know, how many jobs is it going to bring? What kind of capital investment? What wages are they paying? Mm-hmm. You know, what percentage above the county average mm-hmm. it is and whatnot. And also some negative factors. If they use a lot of water, mm-hmm. it deducts from that. And it kind of spits out what kind of an incentive we should offer, and it keeps those fair across the board. It gives us a starting mm-hmm. place to try to negotiate with these companies that are looking at Cedar City. And we went through a long process to develop that, to develop, you know, what does our community value? Uh-huh. How much weight do we put on that? And the Utah Office of Economic Development has been working with us and helping us put the matrix together. And so that's going to be a fun thing.
That's cool. Like, is this breaking news?
It's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah. And so that'll be exciting. You know, the project over at Decor Works. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to be one of our first ones that we do in there, although they opted to stay here instead of, I don't know if everyone knows, they had a company back east that was trying to recruit them to build their new plant back east, and we told them that we would give them some incentives if they would stay here. Another thing that gives them points is if you renovate a historic building or bring something, you know, that's maybe an area of town that's deteriorating or something, you get extra bonus points for those things.
Okay.
And so Jeff Dancy has been very patient because he hasn't earned any of those incentives from the city yet, but he's been waiting for us to get this finally rolled out so we can plug all of his factors in there.
That's
and see
so
what's
fabulous.
Fair.
Yeah.
So
I love that systematizing of sort of an incentive program that's been in place for a long time. But to have that kind of matrix and that system that you can consistently apply.
Right, to keep it fair and equitable.
And probably to go recruit, too.
Yes.
And
oh,
to spend
yes.
less work on the
yeah.
effort.
That's
yes.
exciting.
And so then you don't
That's
get it,
cool.
accused of, oh, well, that project was your friend, or
right.
you're going to yeah. benefit from it, or you're, you know, that it gives us that negotiating thing. So
that's very cool.
I won't belabor that, but that's been a fun project in the economic development to be working on.
That's very cool.
Other things I meant to mention, on the fire department, they have made an appeal for everyone around town to try and clean up around your fire hydrants. With all the
yes.
rain and the weeds
yeah.
and everything. Mm. So I thought, well, I will give a plug for anybody that hasn't seen that or they haven't been in their neighborhoods cleaning out the bushes and whatnot. But the last thing we want to happen is a fire truck comes to your house to put out a fire and they can't find
the fire hydrant.
Everybody's trying to, like, you know, hide them and put their landscaping
yeah.
around them and whatnot. And they're kind of camouflaged in a lot of areas. Yeah.
So that's your Color Country Politics PSA for the day.
There you go.
Clean around your fire hydrants.
You know, there's actually one hydrant in town that has been decorated.
Oh, no.
Yes. Over by the Motel 6, there's a fire hydrant that has been painted like a Holstein cow.
I did not know that. I'll go have to
go. Oh, now I'm
going
to have to go see.
Yeah.
Well, definitely they'll be able to find
out.
That.
It'll stand out a little more.
It's not red, but it's...
That's great.
It's distinct.
That's great.
Yeah. It is. Our Parks and Rec department, they, like, do an amazing job. They're over all our cemeteries, the golf course, all the recreation programs, all of our parks.
Mm-hmm.
The trail system that we've been building and expanding.
The new signage is great.
Yes, I love it. It's got mileage on it, mm-hmm. directional.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really trying to improve it. You know, when we had mm-hmm. what was the guy that came to town and kind of... Roger Brooks.
Yeah.
And when he's like, I get it. You guys have great things. You're trying to keep it a secret.
Right.
can you put up some signs and tell people where
signs.
To find these
yeah.
things? And so I thought that was great that we've worked really hard to try
yeah.
and help our visitors because
right.
we like tourism. We
exactly.
like tourists to come and,
yeah. Yeah.
and enjoy the things that we've got here.
That's
one exciting thing, and in this council meeting, I had actually asked Paul Bittman, our city manager, it's like, have we announced about the railroad property?
Yeah.
Is it public? Can we talk about it? And so he made a little announcement. We actually bought all that railroad property that goes from the bottom of 200 West over to Airport Road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a narrow swath
mm-hmm.
that goes through there.
Yeah.
But, and it's kind of overgrown and trashy right now, but we've got big plans for that.
And that's been going on for years.
Since before I was on the council.
Yeah.
I can't take any credit for that other than to help negotiate
the final sales price
and terms and stuff like that. But our trail systems, what made me think of that right now is our trail will go through there, hook on the trails to the west.
Oh, that's so fabulous.
So all these loops that we're doing, we're also going to, you know, widen Industrial Road.
Okay.
So it'll be a nice transportation corridor through there. Our engineering department is working on improving our road and transportation systems.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to become like St. George that they don't have enough north-south and east-west corridors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's really exciting when we first started really narrowing down on, you know, zeroing in on this purchase, some of those other roads that dead end because
mm-hmm.
the railroad was there.
Yeah.
Now we're going to be able to open up some of those roads.
Okay.
So everyone isn't going to have to empty out onto 200 North.
Okay.
And you've seen down on Coal Creek Road, mm-hmm. the cut through that's partway by the storage sheds there.
Uh-huh.
That road will go all the way through to 800 West, to the stoplight, to the university.
Okay.
And so that's an exciting road that's coming.
That's great.
We're widening Westview to make it a little more safe. Some people aren't so happy about that, but we really need to make it safe. There's a lot of traffic out there.
Yeah.
And
but, you know, one of the things that in a city council meeting that I was in was one of those residents who had come in and was expressing his concern about, you know, what was happening, I was really impressed that people from the council met with those residents and really tried to find solutions. I mean, that's kind of my shout out for the existing city council of what the city is doing well, is I'm always so impressed with how invested the council is in finding solutions and really listening to the community and the citizens, and if there's an issue, really understanding what it is. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. We work hard at that. So thanks. Yeah. Appreciate you acknowledging that. Our public works department, mm-hmm. I mean, from fixing your potholes to shoveling your snow,
right?
You know, to your sewer that we don't want to think about, and all of our water and everything. I am amazed at what goes on behind the scenes that mm-hmm. we take for granted every day. Yeah. Our garbage collection. I mean, things that we don't have to think about or worry about. Yeah. It's just taking care of us and for us. And I just can't say enough. Really, that's our whole city. Really. Is what we do well.
So on the flip side of that, what does the city need to improve on? Where are the areas that we could really take things up a notch?
You know, as I think about that question, I honestly think that what we can do is communicate what's going on better. I think we mm-hmm. maybe need a public relations person or somebody that, like, actually gets out there and talks about what we're doing. Like I said, on economic development, you can't always talk about what's going on too much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think we're really poor about talking about our master plan.
Yeah.
We're in the process right now of updating that. We've recognized with all the people that's coming in asking mm-hmm. for zoning requests, maybe that plan needs to be updated.
Exactly.
We hate to do spot zoning. Yeah. And so this year we're going to be taking a hard look at that. Do we need to make some changes mm-hmm. in that master plan? Mm-hmm. Another thing is our impact fees. We're in the process of having a study completed for our impact fees. Whether you love it or hate it, that's what impact fees, they cover the impact of new homes,
right.
New development and whatnot. But we always want to make sure that we're charging the right amount.
Sure.
We don't want to have too much money sitting around mm-hmm. that we're charging too much for the impact fees, and it's more than the infrastructure that we've had to put in. But we also don't want to run short of being able to take care of, you know, all of our basic needs that those impact fees go
sure.
to. So I guess maybe that's what we don't do really well, is letting people know what's going on.
Yeah.
I see out on social media a lot of criticism that our city doesn't have any planning, and I think of all the meetings and the charts and the
right.
plans
yeah.
and everything that are worked on every week, and I just think people don't know about it. So we need to figure out a better way, whether it's on our website, whether we have somebody, you know, as we grow that can be assigned to kind of task
mm-hmm.
with doing that. But
oh, I think that's a well-made point. That's a well-made point.
So
good. Okay, let's see. Tell us a little bit about your specific goals. So you've been in for almost a term. You've seen what's going on. You know all the background story on everything. What are you hoping to accomplish in a next term if you're elected?
All right, one of the hot buttons this week, obviously, is the gym and the ice rink.
Mm-hmm.
We had a really good discussion last week in City Council, and all the council members are on board to bring this forward. Back in 2011, to just give a little bit of history, mm-hmm. when the Aquatic Center was built, due to the budget constraints, they took the gym piece out of that was on the ballot for the citizens to vote for. A lot of people didn't even understand. They're like, wait a minute, we voted for that, mm-hmm. but they didn't understand that that piece was out of it by the time it went to the ballot
right.
because of the cost. Mm-hmm. But knowing that we wanted a gym there, we put a ton of infrastructure. The site is prepared. Footings are in the ground. The elevator is in. The locker rooms were built to accommodate the gym and the swimming pool. Mm-hmm. Everything was designed for that gym to be there. Citizens have been very patient.
They've been waiting for the Heritage Center debt to be paid off, which happens in July of 21. Mm-hmm. And so we're hoping to move this forward to where we're ready to start building a gym for our citizens.
That's exciting.
On the same side, Staley's have come in with a proposal. It's really a creative financing proposal, and they've gathered a lot of donations mm-hmm. from our community. Our community is getting behind it. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of private donations going into it. And everybody's excited about trying to raise both waters.
Right.
Obviously, the rink will probably happen before the gym does, because we've got to wait until we've got the money to finish paying for it. But we're trying to decide on permanent locations, whether the rink stays where it's at or moves to the west of mm-hmm. the Aquatic Center. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. If we build that gym, we can now offer, it'll have an elevated walking track, it'll have exercise equipment, kind of similar to the Washington County okay. Rec Center on a smaller scale, mm-hmm. but you can buy family passes. It will help offset some of the operating costs of yeah. the Aquatic Center. Yeah. So we're excited. We can have volleyball, pickleball. So I'm really excited. I've been heavily involved in this, and I really want to see, if I'm reelected, I hope to carry those two projects
That'd
through to completion. Yeah. I think it would be great. We're a winter climate. Scott Phillips and I have talked a lot about, why do we retreat from winter when we have so much of it here?
Right.
Both of these venues can bring winter activities for our sure. citizens. We can host basketball tournaments. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot we can do. You know, there's some that will argue, hey, we don't need a gym. Basketball is happening. It's happening in church gyms, school gyms, yeah. and whatnot. But Jennifer Weaver, bless her heart, she works her tail off to try and schedule all those programs around school events. And
I don't think a lot of people were aware, at least it never occurred to me until I was in a city council meeting, that the city does not own a facility.
Yeah, we don't have one single indoor gym.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of outdoor courts out there at the Aquatic Center. Mm-hmm. And I just think it brings so much
yeah,
to it. So we've got a lot of people that are really excited,
yeah.
not just for basketball, but for all
Everything
kinds of programs
that
we can do.
Tons of extra programming that you're going to be able to do.
Another thing that I want to do, big hot button, is water. Mm-hmm. This year I was moved over. I'm the board member on the Iron County, what is it?
Central
Iron County Water Conservancy District. It's over the entire county other than northern. It doesn't include Parowan, uh-huh. But it's responsible for looking to the future, providing water for the next 50 years for our residents.
That's huge.
And it's like drinking from the fire hose.
Yeah.
I've just been put on there this year, and so I'm learning a lot. We have the Wawa Valley and the Pine Valley water mm-hmm. that we're actively doing things. Last month we bought property from Sitla up in Wawa okay. Valley to put the wells and everything on. Uh-huh. And so we're slowly doing that. We're working on the environmental impact study right now to find out what spiders or
yeah.
prairie dogs
yeah.
or
any
snakes
other sort of
or
creature.
Whatever might be alive yeah. out there, what we have to worry about working around and mm-hmm. making, working with property owners mm-hmm. for that pipeline to come through there. So while that's a ways out, we're laying the preliminary mm-hmm. groundwork for being able to bring that water. And I know a lot of people are worried about growth. Mm-hmm. Where are we going to get the water from? We really are working on bringing that. If anyone hasn't been out to see the recharge mm-hmm. facilities that the city has, you should go out there. We're putting hundreds of thousands of gallons of this excess runoff water mm-hmm. into the ground, hoping to refill our aquifers. Mm-hmm. You know, time will tell whether this plan works, but it was relatively inexpensive, and we're putting a lot of water back into mm-hmm. the ground instead of it running out in Quechua and mm-hmm. just evaporating
yeah.
and going away. So
yeah.
Those are probably two of the big things that I want to work on, some lofty goals on
yeah.
both of them.
Yeah.
And
Those are big projects that will be hugely beneficial for the city. It's exciting. That's very exciting.
So let's say you're stuck in an elevator with someone for a couple of minutes. You've got an opportunity to pitch them on why they should give you another term. What do you tell them?
Well, what do I tell them? I tell them that I will always be honest, truthful, upfront with them. I study every issue. Mm-hmm. I do not make a vote. I don't promise votes to anybody before the council meeting comes up. I listen to all the arguments for and against, all of the information. I spend a lot of time going out talking to folks, driving around looking at what they're talking about. And that's what I promise. If I'm put on a term, another term, I will continue to do that. I try and be open to everyone, willing to listen. I put my own cell phone, my email. Everyone knows where I live. My address is out there. So hopefully, please don't tag my house or my car or something. But I guess that's probably my elevator statement.
Great.
That's fantastic.
We always appreciate accessibility.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate being here and your insight and your time. Looking forward to the next several months of campaigning.
Oh, me too. But thank you. I really appreciate you guys, you know, giving us this platform to get information out to people, because sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
Hard to get to know the candidates. I don't know our new candidates. Yeah. So I need to go meet them, and I'm going to go watch all the podcasts and get to know them too.
Well, thank you so much. This is Color Country Politics. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.